Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that was what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. I like that verse because it sets up two things for you very clearly. One, the Holy Spirit had something very particular he wanted Paul and Barnabas to go do, didn't he? When he said, set them apart, he said, it's because he wanted them to go to this area for this particular mission to do this particular thing right then. Paul and Barnabas, because they listened to the Holy Spirit, went. Here's the other thing you need to watch out for. They came across someone who, and this happens again, they claim they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're filled with a false spirit. This is why I keep bringing this back and bringing this back and bringing this back. And this is why we're going to talk about understanding the true spirit. Because there is false spirits all around. And they have invaded churches. I'm very sad to say that. But the fake spirit has invaded churches. So it's very important you understand the Holy Spirit. The one thing, if you don't remember anything else, remember when I say this. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force you to do anything. This is not like being possessed by a demon where we see in the movies where they come in and you're controlled and you have no free will over your life anymore. This is allowing him to work in your life. Everybody say allowing. You allow the Spirit to work in your life. You can shut him out at any time you want. Acts 15, 23 through 29. Acts 15, 23 through 29. This is what's known as the Jerusalem Council. So there's all these believers, these Gentile believers, and they're arguing over what they have to do. We have to be circumcised. Are we not circumcised? Are we following all the laws? Are we not following the laws? Are we following just the moral law? What do we have to do? So the apostles get together and they pray and they fast and they worship. And this is what they write back to them. So Acts 15, 23 through 29. Listen how they had, listen, they first addressed themselves. The apostles and elders, your brothers. To the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization to disturb you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends, Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So he said, not only are we sending you this letter, but we're sending men with this letter because they want to encourage them and they want to give them direction. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do good to avoid these things. Farewell. Once again, they get together, they fast, they worship, they pray, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, here's what these believers have to do, and that's it. Tell them this so they can have direction, they can have encouragement. This is my favorite one. Acts 16, 1 through 10. Acts 16, 1 through 10. And I really wish in New Testament times that the names were much easier to pronounce. I would much rather have a Milwaukee town like Pewaukee. And I was trying to think of some really, really neat, weird ones that just my mind just went completely blank. If you ever get a chance, look up like people from Texas trying to pronounce Wisconsin city names. It's hilarious. So anyway, so Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Listen to this next line. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they grew daily in numbers. The elders, the apostles, they had met at Jerusalem. They came up with this guideline from the Holy Spirit. Paul delivers it, and what happens? Because they listened, they were strengthened, and they grew in numbers. I love this part. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of, just going to skip that one, and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. All right? Paul is so in tune with the Holy Spirit. He's like, man, I really want to go into Asia. I want to reach all these people for Christ. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, stop right now. Do not enter. And Paul, being the great man of God that he was, said, okay. And he stopped. He's like, man, I really want to go. I really want to go in there. I'm like, no, stop, go back. So if you were Paul, would you like be questioning God right now? Like, man, God, I have a desire to reach this people group and you're telling me no. Alexa, can I pick on you for a minute? Alexa's dream was to be a world missionary. She wanted to go overseas. She wanted to go anywhere God would lead her to. She wanted to leave this country and go preach the gospel. And God's like, okay, I have a mission field for you. Alexa's like, all right, where am I going? Wisconsin. Wisconsin? I don't want to go to Wisconsin. I want to go to like China or Singapore or Australia. Just pulling random names out of my head. I don't want to be in Wisconsin. But Alexa, being the woman of God that she is, obeyed the Holy Spirit and came to Wisconsin. And because of that, look at everything that God has done through that. Look at the blessing she is to this church. Do you know how great it is that I don't have to ever worry about worship? Ever. I have enough to worry about. It is such a blessing to me that I don't have to worry about worship. Plus, because she listened to God, God blessed her by bringing Danny into her life. And they got married. Danny's already in her life, but you understand what I'm saying. God had this great plan for Alexa, and it is still unfolding for her. Now, she could have just said, hey, God, I don't care what you're saying. I'm going to go overseas and become a missionary. She could have done that. She could have tried to move that balloon. She could have tried to find that banana that wasn't there. But she said, God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit guiding me. I'm going to take off this blindfold so I can see the banana sitting right in front of me. So Paul is probably thinking this too. I can just see Paul, because when you read enough of Paul's letters, you know how he feels, man. His one thing he wanted to do. Paul is the guy who preached so long. A guy fell asleep in a window, fell out of the window and died. Paul went, prayed over him, brought him back to life. That guy went home. Paul went back to preaching. Now, I know you all think I'm long-winded, but I don't see people falling asleep in windows and falling to their desks while I'm preaching. So you know Paul's heart is he just wants to reach more people with Christ, and he's like, I'm going to go into Asia. There's this whole group here, and the Holy Spirit's like, no. But here's why. Oh, yeah. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of, not going to guess that one, and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. They're not allowed to him. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So why did God stop Paul from going into Asia? Because he wanted him to go to Macedonia. That's where Paul was next. His next step was supposed to go. He didn't know exactly where he was heading next, but he knew, hey, I can't go here. So did Paul quit working in the meantime? He kept working and waiting on God. So how does the Holy Spirit talk to me? So these are some of the ways. The inner witness, the knowing, the gut feeling. Have you ever just been going along and all of a sudden you're like, I cannot do this. I need to stop right now, right here, and turn back. Sometimes we'll refer to it as women's intuition. I'm telling you, my wife's voice sounds exactly like the Holy Spirit. You'll get that. It'll just be a sudden check, and you're like, whoo, I need to stop. Sometimes it'll be you're talking to someone, and you're like, there's something not right about this person. I need to leave. Or you'll be talking to someone and all of a sudden you'll be like, I need to pray for them right now. That inner feeling. The second way is, of course, he leads you through the word of God. There is a reason God works so hard to preserve his word through all these centuries, all these generations. It's because he wanted us to know his thoughts. When you're reading the word, of course, God, the Holy Spirit, is going to reach out to you. That's the most important way he's going to reach out to you, is through his written word already. It's why he preserved it. But he also communicates through leadings. I just want to tell you this story. A week before Pastor Jesse said he was stepping down, I walked into my house and I said, Lacey, I got to tell you something weird, but I'm being led. And she goes, we're done in children's ministry, aren't we? I said, yes, we are. She said, well, we're called to Medford. My next words out of my mouth were, well, Pastor Jesse's never leaving, so I don't know what we're going to do. But it was at Alexa and Danny's wedding that I first got this inclination. They were walking to do something, and the Holy Spirit... This was such a loud, audible voice, I actually looked around to see who said that. But the feeling was, everything is about to change. Man. Sometimes he'll just put a check in your spirit. You'll be going along and you'll just get the spiritual stop sign. Whew, this is not for you. All right? I use Alexa and Danny again. I love using personal examples because I think people can relate better. Alexa and Danny said, hey, we're going to step up and we're going to lead the youth group. And they did. And then God said, hey, guys. Holy Spirit said, hey, you're done. Stop sign. And they came to me and they're like, they texted me, like, we got to talk about youth group. And the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, they're stepping down. But here's what you're gonna say. quickenings, bringing things to attention quickly. Man, sometimes, have you ever read the same verse like 15 times? And on the 16th time, you're reading it through and the words practically jump off the page at you and they're talking about exactly what you're going through? And that's the Holy Spirit saying, spotlight, pay attention right here. Hey, you know what you're dealing with? Here, I've already addressed this right here in this book. Now I'm going to bring it to your attention so you pay attention, so you listen. Visions. Man, visions are not done away with. Visions still happen. Paul had the vision to go to Macedonia. I can go through and talk to people here and they tell you about visions God has given them. There's a vision of prophecy over this church. Visions still happen. Through dreams. I'm talking about dreams that you just dream. And I'm talking about dreams that are ideas. If you have a dream, you have an idea, here's how you know it's of God. Can you do it on your own? If you can do it on your own, chances are God's not giving you that. But if he's giving you a dream and you're like, well, I can't do this. Yeah. Dream big. Because that means God's going to call you out. We sing that song, you call me out upon the waters where feet may fail. Yeah. When God calls you, when God gives you a dream, chances are it's going to be too big for you to do on your own. I had a meeting here shortly after Pastor Jesse was stepping down, and I knew I was called to step out of ministry, out of children's ministry. Didn't know where I was going to end up. I walked out to my car, and I was thinking, man, I said, my dream, I know I'm going to be the senior pastor somewhere, but I also know I am not ready for this. I turned on my car, and Oceans was playing, and the song that was playing was Spirit Lead Me, My Feet Cannot Walk. I remember as I was walking out there, I'm like, I am over my head, God. I am not ready for this. You know what he said to me? He said, good. He said, you're in a position where you no longer needed me. You're in a position where I had to pull people away from you to grow your faith. It worked. Now I got to put you in a position where you can't rely on yourself. You got to rely on me. And when that happens, your faith is going to grow. And finally, he'll talk to you through prophecies. Prophecies are still for today. Just going to throw out another word of caution, though. The Bible tells us very clearly. Paul said, even if angels come to you and present to you a different gospel, let them be accursed. Anytime anyone prophesies, anytime anyone has a word from God, it is, anytime I am speaking, it is your duty to be checking that back against the Spirit and against the Word of God. And if anyone comes and says something that is not right, if you don't agree with it, talk to them afterwards. If I say something you don't agree with, pull out your Bible, come to me afterwards, show me where I am wrong. If I am wrong, I will be very gladly to come up here and say, hey, I messed up. I'm only human. I want to say this right now. I want to make this very clear. You are obligated. If anyone ever stands in this pulpit, whether it be me, whether it be the superintendent of this district, whether it be anyone, and they preach anything other than the grace of God for forgiveness of sins, I expect you, I demand of you that someone will stand up where they are and immediately rebuke him for that, or her, or whoever. Just because someone claims they are of God does not mean they are. That's why it's so important we understand the voice of the Holy Spirit. Leads us to our next point. How can I understand when the Holy Spirit is talking to me? First part is by spending time in the Word of God. I know I got to start sounding like a broken record up here. Seems like every Sunday I say, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word. There's a reason for that. Because that's the direct line to God to communicate with you. It's through His Word. He spent all those years, all that time, all that effort keeping that together. John 10, 27 and 28. John 10, 27, 28. Jesus said this. Listen to this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You want to know what God's voice sounds like? It's written down. Spend time in your Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time talking with God. Is there someone you know that has such a unique voice that the instant you hear it, you're like, oh, I know exactly who that is? For me, there was a comedian years ago, her name was Fran Drescher. She had this, my apologies to her, but she had an annoying laugh. But when I hear that laugh, I go, that's Fran Drescher. You know what? When God speaks to me, I say, that's God's voice right now. Happened at men's conference. We were sitting there and God's like, hey, you need to say this. I'm like, he's like, no, you need to say this. But I listen. I understand what God's voice sounds like because I spend time with him. We need to take time to listen. We need to understand that the voice of God, the Holy Spirit's leading, may not be a loud earthquake or rushing wind or a fire. It may be a whisper. This happens in 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. 1 Kings, going back to the Old Testament, 19, 9 through 13. Elijah. And we talked about Elisha at conference. Don't get, there's actually two different guys. I will admit, it took me a long time to realize that. Because they sound exactly alike. And I still get them confused which one did what. So if you get confused, I'm right there with you. So he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. So he's hiding out because he's about to be put to death. The Lord God said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Right? So he's like, all right, presence of the Lord is coming. I'm ready. And he goes out there and he stands and he says, it says, a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered rocks before the Lord. I don't know about you, but like, hey, that's the presence of the Lord, man. Yes. But the Lord was not in that wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. All right, that's the presence of the Lord. Shaking the very ground as he passes by. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there came a fire. Hey, that's the presence of God, right, man? He's so powerful, he's so holy, he's so magnificent that he created a fire as he was coming. But that the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled this cloak over his head and face and went out. He stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" I think sometimes we expect the voice of God to be this great, big, booming, loud voice from heaven, and that's what we're looking for. And we don't realize that God is whispering to us. I'll never forget one time a great mentor of mine, he was up praying. He said, "God, what do I need to know? What do I need to talk about?" He said, "Show me, show me, show me." And as he was praying, a dog started barking. And he said, "It took me out of my prayer." And I was like, "Would someone shut up that dog? That has to be the most unobedient dog I've ever heard." And he stopped. He's like, "I need to go talk to these kids about being obedient to God." He said, the voice of God was in that dog. As that dog was barking, the Holy Spirit whispered to me, "Yeah, go talk about obedience." Trying everything back against the Spirit to make sure it is of God. The Holy Spirit will never contradict what we already know. The Holy Spirit will never contradict what we already know. And that verse didn't print. But you can look it up. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. But here's what it all comes down to. Above all else, even when it scares us, the Holy Spirit brings peace. I want to tell you this. I was in a coffee shop the other day. When am I not in a coffee shop? I have a slight addiction to coffee. But I was in Uncommon Ground, and this lady walked in. She's talking on her cell phone. And I keep hearing her say, "Yeah, so-and-so, she's going to die soon. She's unresponsive. Her family's all coming. And she's buying coffees and teas and goodies because the family's all coming in." And I sit down at my table, and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, you need to go tell that woman who you are and give her your card." I'm like, "Yeah, what am I going to say? Yeah. So I was just standing here in line, completely listening to every word you were saying." I was like, "I'm not going to do it." Holy Spirit's like, "No. She needs to know who you are because she needs help." So I stood up. I walked over there. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I don't know you." "So my name is Pastor Josh. I'm the senior pastor at River of Hope just down the road from here. I heard you. I didn't mean to eavesdrop. I overheard what you were saying. So I just want to let you know that we are available if you guys need anything. So if you need a church for the funeral, our church is available." I gave her my card. And I went and I sat back down and was working on my computer. And she came over and she said, "Can I talk with you?" I said, "Of course you can." She sat down. We talked for over an hour. Turns out, I know she has 13 kids. I know about half of them, or at least I've met them. And she's like, "Well, I have no idea what the family's going to do, but, you know, I have your card." And she's like, "I was actually going to ask you if you were a pastor." So we fast forward, and I'm down at men's conference, and I have, like, signal in, like, one area at that camp. I can only be in one area and I have signal. And I look at my phone, I have a voicemail. So I click the voicemail and she's like, "Pastor Josh, this is Ann Heil. We talked earlier." And she said, "That lady has passed away and the family wants to take you up on your offer." like, okay. And I called her back, and we talked a little bit. And I'm like, here. So here's my wife's number. Call her and talk with her. Because I said, I'm out of town till Saturday. And she kind of handles the organizations anyway. Organizational side of it. Turns out that this lady's family's not from this area. And the last time they got together for a funeral, people from overseas and different states and different countries all came in. And as I was talking to Ann, she goes, the family has one request of you, if possible. She said, the lady who died was a born-again believer, but most of her family's not. She's like, at the funeral, can you share the gospel? And I was like, can I? And I tried to play it cool. I'm like, of course, we'll share the gospel. Because I said yes to the Holy Spirit, totally not trying to steal that, sorry. Because I chose to step out, hand that lady my card, I'm going to have a chance to witness over 100 people. How awesome is that? And over 100 people are going to see what this church is about, what our people are about. And they're going to get a chance to see that God is real. So do you have to do anything to receive the counseling? Oh, sorry, that First Thessalonians verses. Do not quench the spirit, but treat prophecies with, or do not treat prophecies with content, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So do I have to do anything to receive counseling? You need to allow him to lead you. Romans 8:14, it says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led, you can reject that leading. You need and can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You need to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you always resist the Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. If you lack knowledge, you just need to ask. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's what it comes down to, folks. This is where it is. Allow the Spirit to work in your life or don't allow it. He's not going to force it upon you. But here are the results. Listen to the Holy Spirit. There'll be personal growth as we follow and walk in the Spirit. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The prayers of a righteous man or woman or child availeth much. We will see answered prayers as we grow closer to God. As prayers are answered, our faith will grow. As our faith grows, our prayers are answered, Medford will see God is real. We will see the book of Acts be played out before our very eyes. Do you want to see someone in a wheelchair come in here that can't walk, be prayed over, stand up and throw their wheelchair away? I want to see that. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about that in miracles. God said that can still happen. We will see strangers and loved ones come to God as the awakening happens. That's the word that God has given to us, that he is going to awaken people. They're going to seek this, that God is real. Not listening? There'll be no growth as we walk in the flesh. Our prayer life will flounder as we are not growing closer to God. Our faith will not grow it'll even dwindle. We will continue to live in a time of no miracles. The awakening will still come. I want to say this very clearly. The awakening, no matter what we do, the awakening is going to come to Medford. God has already said, I'm going to awaken these people. I'm going to wake them up out of their slumber. They are going to seek that God is real. No matter what we do, that will not change. But we're not listening to the guidance of the Spirit. We will be in no position to capitalize on it. Final question is yours. Will I receive the knowledge and counseling the Holy Spirit is trying to give me? Or will I ignore it, going on my own? You want to be like Zeke? Do you want to try to push your balloon from point A to point B using only your mouth? You can't touch the balloon. You can't have the Holy Spirit envelop you. So when the darts of Satan come at you, pop goes your balloon. Are you going to let the Holy Spirit cradle you, comfort you, and guide you? To steal from Aaron, Pastor Aaron, saying yes to God is not easy. But it sure beats the alternative. I am so glad that when God reawoken the calling into my life, I said yes to God. I am so glad when God said, hey, step out of children's ministry, go where I'm going to send you. And I said, where is that, God? He said, that's not for you to know. I am so glad I said yes to God. Was it a struggle? You don't think I struggled? Ask my wife. Because as soon as I said yes, that stealing completely from Pastor Aaron, but it so fits here. As soon as I said yes, the devil questioned that yes. Did God really say that to you? Did God really say step out? You know, River of Hope doesn't want you. They're never going to put you in there. And I said, it doesn't matter what they want. It matters what God wants. I want to share one more story. Years ago, my friend's dad was interviewing for a position. And the guy said, all right, I'm going to hire you. You just got to go take a psychological exam. My friend's dad said, I'm an engineer. There is no reason for that. And I refuse to take that test. And he said, well, in that case, I refuse to hire you. And my friend's dad looked him square in the eye. And he said, it does not matter what you want to do. If God wants me to have this job, I'll get it. And the guy looked at him and said, God is not in charge here. I am. And I am not going to hire you. He said he left that meeting. God said, yeah, you need to sell your house and go move to northern Wisconsin without a job. He's like, okay. Sold his house. Got a house, got a loan. Without a job, got a loan. Bought the house. He's sitting there. Weeks go by. Phone rings. It's that guy. And he's like, so everybody else said no. The job is yours if you want it. And I won't make you take that test. He said, told you it wasn't your choice. He said, I think I need to know more about this God you talk about. That's where it lies. The Holy Spirit is saying, I want to give you knowledge. I want to give you counseling. I want to direct your path. You going to say yes? It's up to you. As always, we will have time for prayer. If you need prayer, if you need to just be quiet before God, if you need to come up here and be prayed over, this time is for you. When when you feel God is done with you, you are free to go. You are dismissed. If you need directions to Dwayne's house, talk to Dwayne or Lori. They have maps. I can't personally read a map, but so it won't do me any good. It's up on the screen. And on the welcome table, and that means nothing to me. No, seriously. Yeah, so apparently good luck. Hopefully you guys know what that means, because I have no idea. Yeah, you already got me confused. Left, south, yeah. I need to know, like, I navigate by landmarks. So, like, you turn left at the ugly house. I am so thankful I had GPS. I'm so thankful for GPS in my physical life, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit in my spiritual life. Let's close in prayer, and as always, when you feel God is done with you, you are dismissed. If you need more prayer, the altar is always open. Thank you all. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing work you started in our men this weekend, for the encouragement and the conviction and the direction you are giving our lives. Lord, I praise we go forward today that even though it's hard, people will say yes. Holy Spirit, guide me. I pray that you'll keep us safe. Bless our time at the Parkinson's house that we can fellowship together. Bless the food. Have us have a good time. Keep us all safe until we come back here next week to worship you, learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.